Okay, we want to continue to look at the church covenant, the last part of the third paragraph, which states to be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior. Now, the kingdom of our Savior, of course, consists of loyal subjects and the government of Jesus Christ. And this part of the covenant is to, we pledge to make an effort, and we pledge that that effort will be zealous, that is, to advance something. In this case, it is advancing the kingdom of our Savior. The best overall description of kingdom living, of course, is found in the Sermon on the Mount. And we see there in the Beatitudes that such living involves a spirit or an attitude. As you read on, you see that it involves a testimony and being an influence. It includes laws, that is, the laws of God, God's authority. It also includes praying and having our priorities right. So advancing the kingdom has all of these things in view, and the members of a local New Testament Baptist church, we pledge to make a personal effort to advance this kingdom living or a life under the government of God. Now, an effort is a determined attempt, and it requires physical and mental exertion. And we pledge to make an effort. We pledge to make an effort to advance the kingdom of our Savior. To advance, of course, is to move forward, not backward, but to move forward. We pledge to make an effort to promote the kingdom of our Savior. We pledge to help the progress of and to help the cause of the kingdom of our Savior. So the pledge to advance the kingdom of our Savior is a pledge to help. It is a pledge to promote the cause of Christ. Each and every member pledges to promote the cause of Christ. Each and every member pledges to help the cause of Christ. And of course, it ought to greatly concern us that we would do that. We would not do anything that would in any way, in any degree, hinder the purpose or to hinder the cause of Jesus Christ. So anything that advances holiness, anything that advances spirituality in our personal lives or in the lives of others advances the kingdom of our Savior. So we pledge. We pledge to advance spirituality or holiness in our own lives, and we pledge to do that also in the lives of others, that we would encourage them to do the same. So anything that advances holiness, anything that advances the truth is to advance the kingdom of our Savior. So this is a pledge to make effort to advance the truth. Anything that advances the church, anything that advances the church in spirituality and in truth is an advancement of the kingdom of the Savior. So it is a pledge to submission to God's authority. It is a pledge to avoid anything that would be a hindrance to the advancement of the kingdom of the Savior. So we need to always be asking ourselves, is this going to advance? Is this going to promote spirituality? Is this going to cause a hindrance, a stumbling block in any way in someone's life? So it's a pledge for the advancement of holiness. It's a pledge for the advancement of spirituality. It is a pledge for the advancement of truth. It is a pledge in the advancement of the ways of God. Now, the kingdom of our Savior is in direct opposition to the kingdom of the world. Now, notice in the book of John, chapter 18, the book of John, chapter 18, and we'll read verse 36. John chapter 18 and verse 36. Jesus, of course, is doing the speaking. He says, "My kingdom is not of this world." And he goes on to say that if his kingdom were of this world, then he would do things the way the world does. He said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence or not from this world." So the kingdom that we are advancing is the direct opposite of the world. And yet many of God's people, if they were to take a careful examination of their lives, they advance the world's ways. They advance the world's philosophies more than they advance the ways of Christ. And they're more interested in the ways of the world than they are the ways of Christ. Now notice in Romans chapter 14, Romans chapter 14, and verse 17. Romans 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness." So we are to advance, we are to make an effort to advance righteousness, peace, and joy. And all of this is in the Holy Ghost. It's what the Holy Spirit produces. So the kingdom of Christ is in direct opposition to the world, in direct opposition to the world's ways, in direct opposition to the world's reasonings, in direct opposition to the world's philosophies and goals. And if you turn over to the book of 1 John, very familiar verse of Scripture, 1 John, chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh," and that's the foundation of the world, that's the foundation of the world's philosophies, that's the foundation of the world's ways, is the lust or the desires of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Again, we see the Father and the world are in direct opposition to one another. "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." So this is a pledge to help in the advancement of the kingdom of our Savior in opposition to the world's way of living. Yet today, in most of the Lord's churches, you have many individuals that are entirely bent on adopting into their lives and adapting to the world's ways, the world's reasonings, the world's philosophies, and the world's goals. The reason some folks are very, very unfaithful in the Lord's service is because the Lord's service interferes with their goals, and their goals are worldly. But we, as a church member, we make a pledge not to advance the world, not to adapt the world, not to adapt to the world's goals or the world's philosophies or the world's reasonings or ways, but to advance the kingdom of our Savior or spiritual things. Now, this effort that we pledge to make is to be with zeal. We are to be zealous in our efforts. So this is not a half-hearted effort. When we became a member of Home Baptist Church, we pledge that we will not be half-hearted in our service, but that we will be zealous, that we will have zeal toward the things of the Lord. Now, zeal, of course, is energy. It's amazing. It's amazing today how much energy people have for the things of the world and how little energy they have for the things of the Lord. Zeal is enthusiasm. It's being enthusiastic. We are to make zealous efforts. That is, we're to be enthusiastic in our efforts. We're to put forth a great amount of energy in our efforts. It speaks of fervor. It speaks of devotion. It speaks of eagerness and vigor and intensity. And you look around today at most of the Lord's churches, you don't see much enthusiasm for the things of the Lord. You don't see much passion. You don't see much fervor. You don't see much devotion and eagerness and vigor and intensity in the things of the Lord. But you do see these things, or this spirit, when it comes to the things of the world. So to be zealous in our efforts is the very opposite of indifference. The very opposite of apathy. And we have been cursed with a spirit of indifference and a spirit of apathy when it comes to spiritual things. And what is so sad is the majority, perhaps, of church members get that way. They get indifferent. They get apathetic toward spiritual things. And that wears off on others who perhaps aren't indifferent yet and perhaps who aren't apathetic yet. And it's not an excuse, but it's a curse today to be indifferent toward the things of the Lord and to be apathetic toward the things of the Lord. It shows a great lack of understanding of what is important. And most folks today have lost sight of what matters. They have lost sight of what is important. So this zealous effort is the opposite of the lukewarm spirit that Christ so ardently warned against and rebuked in the church of Laodicea, there in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16. So what is this lukewarmness? Because it is the opposite of the zealous effort that we pledge to put forth. Well, it's a lack of interest. A lack of interest. That's why so many so-called churches, religious institutions today, bring in the things of the world in order to maintain, in order to get people interested, because that's where people are interested. The things of the world. But of course, that's not the way to go as far as the church is concerned. We're not to make it our aim to get the world interested in what we have. If that is your goal, to get the world interested, you are going to err every single time. That can't be our goal, to get the world interested. It is this lukewarmness is a lack of concern for the things of the Lord. It is a lack of passion. It's a state of lethargy. It's a state of ease. In Numbers 32 and verse 6, remember the Lord rebuked the tribes of Reuben and Gad. And he said, shall you sit here while your brethren go to war? That's a good question. It's a question that many need to answer. What gives you the right to sit when your brethren are out there fighting the battles? It's not just for a few to fight the battles. It's not just for a few to serve the Lord and to take part. It is for every single member that is physically able. They're to take part in the service of the Lord. It's sad today, but it's true. And I believe this is one of the reasons that keeps a lot of people from doing things. In most Baptist churches, if you take it upon yourself to do something one time, it has become your job. For the next 20 years, it's your job. No one else is going to do it. And I think that's what scares a lot of folks off. Well, I don't want to do that, then people will expect me to do that. That shouldn't scare you off. You just do it anyway. But the point, everybody needs to be involved. This lukewarmness is being at ease. Amos 6 and verse 1, woe to them that are at ease in Zion. It's a state of spiritual slackness, state of spiritual laziness. There are a lot of people who are not lazy when it comes to their job. They're not lazy in the things of the world. But when it comes to spiritual things, they are sluggards. They are lazy. They are not going to put forth the effort. And it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of effort for a church to function. It takes effort. It takes energy. It takes fervor. It takes zeal. It takes all of these things. And it takes a lot of effort to serve the Lord. And we pledge that we will put forth the effort, but not only will we put forth the effort, we will be zealous in our effort. It is a state of lingering and hesitating. And many, of course, are in that state. We remember with Lot in Genesis 19 and verse 16, he lingered. God called him to leave and he lingered. And how many today God is calling and folks are lingering? How many are hesitating? When God says, do it now, that's what he means, do it now. But we hesitate. And the reason a lot of folks hesitate is because they're hoping someone else will do it. That's why they hesitate. So this lukewarmness, this spirit of apathy and indifference goes against what we pledge. We pledge to be zealous in our efforts. It's a halting between two opinions, this lukewarmness. It's making light the things of God. Notice in Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 5. Matthew 22 and verse 5. In verse 4 we read, all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it and went their ways. And they all had a reason. Everybody has a reason. People today do not serve the Lord. They have no intention of being zealous in their efforts, but they have a reason. Everyone has an excuse. We see here it was no different. One went to his farm, another to his merchandise, and so on. But the bottom line is, it wasn't the farm that kept them from coming. It wasn't the other things. It wasn't the merchandise. It wasn't their responsibilities. These are not the things that kept them from coming. What kept them from coming was they made light of it. And today it's the same thing. It's the same thing in the Lord's churches. It's not our business. It's not all the other things that keep us from serving God. It's a simple fact that we make light of the things of God. And our priorities are out of whack. Our priorities are not right. So it's a state of making light the things of God, this lukewarm spirit. It's also a state of neglect. We neglect spiritual things. We neglect the things that God has given us. Well, the Lord went on to say to this church of Laodicea after he rebuked them for their lukewarm spirit. He said there in Revelation 3 and verse 19, be zealous. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. But he said, be zealous. If there's anything that we ought to be zealous in, it ought to be the things of the Lord. It's a sad day. I won't do it. I absolutely refuse. It's a sad day when you have to beg people to come to church and you have to beg them to be faithful. I'm not going to do it. If the Holy Spirit doesn't convict them, certainly I'm not going to be able to convict them. There's something fundamentally wrong with us if we just do not have the desire to put forth the effort that it requires. And again, this applies to all members. It applies to young people. It applies to everyone. The only exemption, of course, of physical effort would be those who are not physically able. Those who, for some reason, are not able. So Christ, like in everything else, is our example of zeal. He's our example when it comes to zeal. Notice in the book of John, chapter 2, John chapter 2, and verse 17. John chapter 2, verse 17. And his disciples remembered that it was written, that is in the Psalms, Psalm 69, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, or hath consumed me. When you eat something, you consume it. Christ was absolutely consumed with the work of God. That's what we pledge. We pledge to make a zealous effort to advance the kingdom of our Savior. We pledge to be consumed with the work of the Lord. Jesus in John 4 and verse 34 said, my meat, now you've got to have meat to live. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. He says, this is what is important. This is what matters to me, to do the work of God. John chapter 9, I must do the works of him that sent me. We need to be consumed with the work of the Lord. This was the life of Christ, the work of God, the work that God sent him to do. That was the very life of Christ. That was his purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have reasons for getting up in the morning. We all have reasons for living. This should be our reason. The Lord, the work of God. This is what Paul is talking about when he said, for me to live is Christ. That's what life is to me, Paul said. It's Christ. And I believe this is what it means to be zealous in our efforts. So we pledge that we will have zeal. Most individuals are saved can go back to when they were first saved, and there was a lot of zeal, sometimes without knowledge, but there was a lot of zeal. Now people have head knowledge, but they have no zeal. They have no passion for the things of the Lord. This zeal is to be manifested in our spirit, Romans chapter 12, verse 11. It is to be manifested in well-doing. We ought to be zealous to do what's right. We ought to be zealous to do things that are good. Notice in the book of Galatians chapter 4, the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 18. But it is good to be zealously affected always in a good thing. We ought to be zealous in doing right, in doing good things. In the book of Titus, chapter 2, and verse 14. Book of Titus, chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purify unto himself a peculiar people, a beyond usual people, zealous of good works. Zeal ought to be seen in all of God's people. Certainly it ought to be seen in those whom the Lord has shown the truth to and placed in one of his bodies. We ought to be zealous. We ought to be zealous of good works. We ought to be zealous in desiring the salvation of others. Romans 10, verse 1. Paul was zealous in his desires to see individuals saved. We ought to be zealous in contending for the faith. Jude, verse 3, tells us that we're to earnestly contend for the faith. That is, we're to earnestly contend for the Word of God. We're to earnestly contend for the truth. We should not be lackadaisical in our striving for the truth. We should not be lackadaisical when it comes to standing against what is false and what is wrong. We ought to earnestly contend for the faith. That is, we ought to have some zeal in standing for what's right. There are people who sell health products or whatever. They may sell vitamins or many different things. And it amazes me how these individuals, and I'm talking about saved individuals in the Lord's churches, they can become zealots for a vitamin. And when it comes to the things of God, they have no zeal. It's amazing. They'll now talk to people that they wouldn't otherwise talk to. They'll talk to church members that they wouldn't otherwise talk to, because they're zealous. I'm going to sell this vitamin. I'm going to sell this pill or whatever. We become zealous in a lot of things. But where is our zeal for the Lord? Where is our zeal for earnestly contending for the faith? Where is our zeal for one another? Notice in the book of Colossians, chapter 4. The book of Colossians, chapter 4, verses 12 and verse 13. Epaphras, who is one of you, that is, one of the members of the church of Colossae, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently, that zeal, for you. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. How zealous are we? How zealous are we in praying for one another? How zealous are we for the good of one another? That you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You see, this man Epaphras was interested in their spirituality, that they would stand perfect and complete in the will of God, and he was so interested in that that he labored fervently in prayers for them. Had zeal. And again, we make a pledge to have this zeal, to have this fervency in our service to the Lord. This zeal should provoke others. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Your zeal hath provoked very many. The church today, the churches of the Lord, do very little provoking, good or bad. We're to provoke one another unto good works. We're to be zealous to do that. But if we were as zealous as we ought to be, especially in the world in which you and I live today, a world that despises Christ, a world that despises truth, if we were as zealous as we ought to be, there would be some provoking. I mean, there would be some anger that would be provoked from the world. Churches today, for the most part, we have peace. I mean, with the world. Have very little persecution. You say, well, we ought to thank the Lord for that, perhaps. But perhaps there's another reason. Perhaps there's another reason we don't have persecution. Because we're not doing anything. Because we're not zealous in dealing with the world and the things of the world. Again, it amazes me how there are individuals that can come and sit in a church service. I've witnessed it now for almost 5 years. And they don't get mad. It doesn't matter what I preach. It doesn't bother them in the least. They don't get glad either. Nothing. I mean, there's nothing. And I'd almost rather them get mad. Show me that, you know, you have some life, that something is working. But this is that spirit of indifference. It's that spirit of apathy, where it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what he says. It doesn't bother me one way or the other. Apathy spreads, and apathy and indifference will kill a church. So when we pledge that we will put forth, that we will be zealous in our efforts to advance the kingdom of our Savior, what that means is church membership is not something that requires what you have left over. That's not what church membership is about. It's not, well, I'll be faithful if I can. Why can't you? Why can't you? Well, I'll do such and such if such and such circumstances allow me to do so. In other words, I'll give God what's left over. That's not what church membership is about. You read the book of Acts chapter 9. Paul joined there the church of Damascus. And it was a way of life. You read about the disciples that Saul persecuted. That was their way of life. And this ought to be our way of life. It shouldn't just be when there's nothing else to do, when something better doesn't come along. It ought to be a way of life. And that is the kind of church members that we each should strive to be. That is the kind of church members that we ought to want to be. And to be honest with you, that's really the only kind of church members we want. We don't need a bunch of people who are just interested in giving what's left over. We don't need a bunch of people who are only going to serve whenever they feel like it or when circumstances allow them to do so. We need to be faithful. And we need to take our church membership seriously. We ought to take it very, very, very seriously. It ought to mean something. It ought to mean something to us. How many times over the years we've gone to people and we tell them, you're going to be disciplined. You're going to be disciplined from the church because of such and such. Well, I don't care. You do what you have to. How sad. doesn't matter. It doesn't matter to them. Their attitude is, I'm going to continue doing what I do, and if you don't like it, tough. But church membership ought to mean something to us. I realize it's not our salvation, but it ought to mean something to us. It ought to be precious to us. It ought to be dear to us. So we make a pledge that we'll be zealous in our efforts. That is, we'll put forth effort, not just a little bit of effort here and there, but we will put forth zealous effort to advance spiritual things, first of all in our own lives, and then in the lives of others. And then we'll make zealous effort to promote holiness in the Lord's church, to promote truth in the Lord's church. When you are a member of a church and you go out in the world and you live just the opposite of what that church teaches, you are not advancing truth. You are a hindrance to truth at that point. We are to advance the truth. And when someone asks you, well, doesn't your church do such and such? Why don't you live that way? That ought to rip your heart out. You become a bad testimony to an individual. So we pray that we would be zealous in our efforts. And we wouldn't just go along. We wouldn't just go downstream and just seek the easy way, and seek the way of least resistance, and seek the way of least effort, but that we would be very, very zealous, and we would become zealots for Jesus Christ and things of God. Brother Mark, you come and lead us.